Good morning, I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9, a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program for the listeners of FM 94.9 in San Diego and all of Southern California, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. As we've previously discussed on the program with folks like publisher Lowell Lindsay, the border between Baja California, Mexico, and the U.S. state of California is a political border, and it can be said a cultural border as well, but the natural effects of climate, the environment, and Mother Nature take no heed as to which side of the border they're on. The environmental effects and consequences of abuse are the same no matter where you are, although it can be said political decisions have determined where certain environmental consequences occur. And one of the best examples of this is the massive concrete channel, which carries the huge Tijuana River through the city of Tijuana, only to deposit it right at the border with the United States, where the water, filled with significant, some would say unbelievable quantities of raw sewage, goes through the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant in San Ysidro before being discharged into the Tijuana River Estuary and the TJ Slough National Wildlife Refuge, and then out to sea at the mouth of the river at Imperial Beach. And while the mouth of the Tijuana River is considered to be a legendary surf break, the water quality is often frighteningly polluted, leading to beach closures even after being naturally filtered through the estuary. The city of San Diego, on average, treats about 13 million gallons of sewage a day at the border, and that still doesn't catch everything. And aggravated by flooding, the river's contamination has weakened the wetlands through the Tijuana River Valley. The wetlands have always had to adapt to seasonal fluctuations, but the more recent additions of pollution, increased freshwater runoff, and development along the estuary's margins has made the Tijuana River's wetlands more vulnerable to rapidly changing conditions. But the recent completion of the new Monte de los Olivos sewage treatment plant on Tijuana's east side has given some hope the Tijuana River can be better cleansed and maybe someday restored to a natural balance. So joining us today to talk about the Tijuana River, the Monte de los Olivos treatment plant, and also to talk about a nationwide beach cleanup happening in Mexico in a couple of weeks is Ben McHugh, the coastal conservation manager from Wild Coast, o en español Costa Salvaje. Ben, welcome to Tree Huggers International.
Thanks, Tommy.
Good to have you here, buddy.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So how's my accent? Does it sound legit?
It's pretty good, yeah. I mean, it's passing.
You started speaking Spanish when you were 15. You lived in Costa Rica for a time, correct?
I did. My parents moved there from Santa Cruz when I was young. It was an intense experience, but it was one that I wouldn't trade for anything.
And you lived in Spain for a time, too, as well.
Correct.
So you've got all kinds of accents in your Spanish.
All kinds of mixed-up accents. My girlfriend's from Mexico, so, yeah.
Kind of breaking news. Just recently, the County Recreation Water Quality Program was scrapped. It was put on the shelf. Can you talk about that and what some possible solutions are and really why this might have happened?
You know what, Tommy? This really came as a shocker to everyone here. We relied on the county to test our beaches year-round and put up advisories and closures whenever they found that the beaches were too polluted to use. And now, when the governor basically vetoed on September 23rd the budget for the county program, 2 days later it was completely scrapped. So as of now, we have no one that's monitoring on a regular basis our beach water quality here in San Diego. This is something that we can't afford as San Diegans not to have. Really, the beach water quality monitoring program is an investment for San Diegans, for our economy, for our environment, and especially for our health. And you talked about some of the pollution that comes out in the south part of the county, the Tijuana River, and that causes about 200 days of beach closure every year. It's a public health threat. They've found hepatitis A in 80% of water samples off the Imperial Beach Pier within 3 days of rain. We've been recording different stories of surfers who've gotten violently sick, who've had to go to the hospital, have repeated surgeries. And it's something that it really affects us. As San Diegans, we live our life next to the coast and the ocean. And so it's really important that we try to restore the funding for this program.
Yeah, just from an economic standpoint, so much of San Diego's economy is based upon not just tourism, but just local surfing and the local surfing industry that goes with it. And for heaven's sake, if we can't even tell what kind of toxins might be in the water off the coast, I mean, you've really got a very serious problem. It's like flying blind, flying without instruments.
It's amazing, and that's pretty much right now, every time we go in the water now, we're not going to know, you know, we're not going to have that data from the county saying if it's safe to go in or not. And it's pretty negligible, the funds that it would cost to re-implement this program for the county. It only costs the county about $300,000 for the whole program for their annual budget. And so it really shouldn't be a problem to restore that funding. But that's why we need everyone to tell the county and tell their state elected officials that this needs to be one of their biggest priorities.
You know, judging from the county's website, it indicates that the governor's line-item budget veto, that was what shut down the program. And did Arnold specifically say we're axing that, or was it just a matter of appropriating the right funds to the right place?
The governor basically vetoed $1 million from the state budget that supported this Beach Safety Act.
I mean, are they just blaming this on the governor, basically, or are they choosing to say we're not going to apply the money here?
The legislation at the state level was written back in 97 by a San Diego legislator. And so San Diego County lobbied hard to get the majority of that funding. So they got about $300,000 every year out of the $1 million that was allocated to the whole state. But that set us up for this problem, because then basically with that money out of the budget, San Diego was the only county that was relying completely on that money to fund its recreational water quality program. And so with that money out, we're trying to look for other sources.
You have an acquaintance who was doing some work for the county. He still is. And he was doing this water quality monitoring along the beaches, and he's been reassigned. Now, he's been reassigned because they've scrapped the program, but is there more to it?
You know what? This is the part of the story that really makes me angry, because he was one of our biggest water quality experts. You know, for almost 10 years, he was working on, you know, knew the ins and outs of San Diego beach water quality. He knew everyone in the different communities who were dealing with beach water quality. He was the one that called the lifeguards to post the advisories and the closures. And I just talked with him this morning, and he was reassigned to the Food and Housing Division. Food and Housing. So we have no one that's monitoring our beach water quality anymore.
So this guy's specialty is monitoring water, and they put him to the Food and Housing Division.
I think he's probably going to be doing samples in pools at people's houses, probably.
Are there similar programs around the state, and have they been scrapped as well?
There have been. There have been plenty of other programs that have been scrapped that a lot of people would say are really valuable. The unique thing with this program is that there wasn't really a lot of money that was saved at the state budget level by cutting this program. It was $1 million for the whole year. And so the cost benefit of that one, it was really questionable, because the benefit, as we know here in San Diego, the economic benefit, as you were talking about, far exceeds $1 million every year. In terms of what are our beaches really worth, and what are our beaches, you know, people knowing they can go to the beach and not have their health being at risk, basically.
So what can people do?
The county supervisors, they basically set the priorities for where county funding goes. So if this is an issue you care about, if you care about California beach water quality, especially San Diego County beach water quality, the best thing to do would be to contact your county supervisor, and you can find out who that is by going to their website at county.ca.gov, and it has a little map. You can find out where you live within the county of San Diego, and contact, give your supervisor a call, and just let them know that this is an important thing for you. You know, it's important to know when our beaches are clean and when they're dirty, and it's really important for all San Diegans to know that.
sdcounty.ca.gov, and then you can find out who your person is. sdcountyca.gov.
And also, if you're going to do that, it's also good to contact your elected officials at the state level. So those are your California state representatives and California state senators. Go to our website, wildcoast.net. You can find more information about how to contact your elected officials and tell them that we need them to find funding to restore the recreational water program for California beaches.
All right, wildcoast.net. We'll give that information again a little bit later on in the program. I wanted to talk about the Tijuana River. It is an enormous river. It's got a river valley that's wider and bigger than any of the rivers and creeks here in San Diego County. I mean, it's really extraordinary, going up to its headwaters in the Sierra de Juarez. At what point does that channel begin? Is it started at the dam, La Presa de Tijuana?
Exactly. It starts pretty much within, it's right in the middle of the city of Tijuana. And they installed a flood control channel, which is basically a concrete channel like the LA River. To keep the city of Tijuana from being flooded during, you know, high rain events, or when the reservoir overflowed. But that also created a big environmental and public health problem, because rather than having a natural river system, it turned into basically a sewage chute through the city of Tijuana. And then, as you said, it just dumps out right on the other side of the border in San Diego.
Now, as I understand it, that concrete channel was built as the result of the 1982 El Nino, which just devastated the Rio Zona of TJ. But then Mexico and the United States had an agreement whereby Mexico is going to build their end of the river channel, and then the U.S. was going to do that too. But at some point, the U.S. opted not to build that channel.
Right, and that was the original plan, I guess, was to build the concrete channel all the way to the ocean, which, thank God, that didn't happen, because our pollution problems would be much, much worse. Basically, the natural estuary we have, it's the Tijuana River estuary, it serves as a natural filter through its ecosystem to filter some of the contaminants from the river before they get to the ocean. And the original plan was to channelize the whole river in concrete all the way to the ocean, basically pave over the estuary. And in doing that, we would have lost that ecosystemic function. There were also plans to build like a Six Flags amusement park at the estuary. And we're really glad that didn't happen. You know, as locals down there, the Tijuana River estuary, it's a beautiful place. It's one of the last kind of intact estuaries left in Southern California. And it's the very last one that's not bisected by a road or a railway. So it serves an incredible ecosystemic purpose, as well as it protects our public health down there for people who use the beaches of South San Diego County from Imperial Beach up to Coronado.
Yeah, I mean, the water quality in IB in Coronado might be worse if that was not there. Not if it was concreted out to the coast, but if that estuary, if there was an amusement park there, I mean, we'd have much, much bigger problems. But still, that estuary has got to be under extraordinary stress.
It is. And there are a lot of problems. I mean, when you look especially at sewage contamination, that's more a public health threat than it is a threat for the ecosystem, because there are human pathogens in there that make us sick. Hepatitis, polio, whatever, different things like that, all the E. coli, that for the plants and animals of the estuary, they kind of serve as nutrients. But the estuary is threatened by all the trash, as well as the heavy metals, the industrial contaminants that are coming out of TJ as well. And I think every year it's something like 3,000 tires are hauled out of the Tijuana estuary alone that come across the border with these rains. So it's a serious issue. And Wild Coast, we've been trying to tackle it, and we've had the support of a lot of different people, including, you know, the County of San Diego, the EPA, the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Everyone is trying to start to prioritize looking at how Tijuana River pollution is affecting San Diegans in our ecosystem here. For so many years, it's been a problem that's been virtually ignored. It's been considered too big to deal with. You know, it's the Tijuana River watershed, basically the land area that contributes to the flow of the Tijuana River. Of that, 3/4 is in Mexico. So it's out of the jurisdiction of, you know, San Diego authorities, California, federal even. So it basically comes down to our ability to work effectively with Mexico.
Does all of that water, does the river all go through the treatment plant there? And if so, then how does some of that trash wind up getting past it?
Right. The treatment plant, it only treats about 25 million gallons a day of sewage that's collected in Tijuana. But if you look at the amount that's produced in Tijuana versus the amounts that is collected, only about half of the sewage in Tijuana that is produced is collected. Because Tijuana, it's a city of about 2 million people. Only about half of those have, you know, efficient sewage collection and treatment infrastructure. So whenever it rains, you know, we just get a sewage tsunami that comes out of Tijuana. And it's based on geography. Tijuana is about 300 feet higher than San Diego. And hey, folks, you know, water runs downhill and it runs to the ocean. So it really shouldn't be a big surprise that our beaches are as closed as they are.
With Wild Coast, do you touch base with authorities, local folks in TJ, and say, hey, is there any chance you could undertake some projects or do some planning whereby the sewage isn't so great? How do you even go about even tackling a problem like that?
Basically, as a nonprofit, Wild Coast, we're in a unique position that we can go across political borders to deal with problems like this, because the sewage and the Tijuana River doesn't have a border. It's binational, and so being binational ourselves, we're registered both in Tijuana and in Imperial Beach. We can cross that border to deal with these issues, and we've been in contact and in meetings with the sewage treatment authorities in Tijuana, as well as the mayor of Tijuana, the governor of Baja California, to really talk about effective solutions to this problem. How do we deal with this challenge in a way that really takes into account that it's a binational problem and it needs a binational solution? And it's, I think that's been our most effective tool has really been our ability to work across the U.S.-Mexican border and kind of work as a catalyst to bring people on board, bring, you know, California officials, county officials, San Diego officials, to meet with officials in Tijuana and Baja California with the realization that, you know, we can't do it alone. There's no way that United States can deal with this problem just on our side of the border. And we also, to an extent, we have to take responsibility for our part of the problem, you know, through our trade policies, how that kind of brought about the development in the city of Tijuana. On average, about 1,000 people come to the city every day looking for work. Because Tijuana has such high employment rates, you can basically connect to the NAFTA agreement with the U.S. So I think by taking responsibility for our part of the problem and also seeing how this problem affects San Diegans, you look at, you know, 200 beach closures on average every year in South San Diego County due to the Tijuana River. You know, connect the dots, and it's really not that hard. We just have to commit ourselves to working with Mexico on this issue.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. I'm Tommy Helm, and joining us today is Ben McHugh, the Coastal Conservation Program Manager with Imperial Beach-based Wild Coast. We're talking about the Tijuana River and the Tijuana River estuary in Imperial Beach and efforts to control sewage contamination there. Wild Coast's website is www.wildcoast.net. That's wildcoast.net. You can also go to costasalvaje.com. costasalvaje.com if you habla español. Phone number for Wild Coast is 619-423-8665. That's 619-423-8665. Real quickly, you guys have an office in TJ too, is that correct?
We do, yeah, and it's in Zona Rio, right near the Tijuana River. And we also have folks down in Ensenada and down in Cabo San Lucas as well.
Okay, I want to talk a little more about a beach cleanup that's planned very, very shortly. But first of all, so let me just kind of reiterate here. So the sewage treatment plant in San Ysidro does not catch 100% of the river. A lot of it just flows through the border, and so it only catches a percentage of it, and that's why we have a lot of trash that winds up in the estuary.
Exactly. You know, the Tijuana River, it's such a massive river, and it's also a seasonal river. So it's only flowing during the wet months when it rains. And you can get flows up to flood levels. So it's pretty impossible for the sewage treatment plant that the U.S. has built to be able to collect and treat all of the sewage contaminated water within the Tijuana River. So right now, they're just collecting and treating 25 million gallons that's collected in the city of Tijuana, as well as, you know, a little more that's collected that flows out of the canyons of western Tijuana into the U.S. during dry weather. And that can be collected and treated. But once we get winter storms and wet weather, the sewage treatment plant is way under capacity, basically, to deal with this problem. So the solutions really are put in infrastructure in Tijuana itself, put in more sewage collection and treatment infrastructure, and help Mexico deal with this problem. Right now, the city of Tijuana, it has a combined sewage and storm drain system. So that basically means whenever it rains, everything overflows into the streets, runs downhill, and we're on the receiving end of that. So take into account, you know, geography, a little physics, as well as, you know, sanitation across the border. And we have a pretty massive public health problem, both in Tijuana and in San Diego when it rains.
Well, now in eastern TJ, as you get past like Otay, it gets a little more hilly there. And Monte de los Olivos is there. And that's a new sewage treatment plant that just went online. Is that correct?
Exactly. And this has been a really great advancement for the city of Tijuana. They're currently in the process of putting three new sewage treatment plants online that will deal with a lot of the sewage that's currently collected but not treated. And a lot of that, if people are familiar with northern Baja, a lot of people surf down in Baja Malibu. It's about 6 miles exactly south of the border. And it's the location also of where Tijuana has their sewage treatment plant. And that treatment plant has been under capacity for about 10 years. And so it's been dumping about 5 million gallons a day of raw sewage right into the surf. They mix it with what they're able to treat, dump a bunch of chlorine in there, and dump it out into the surf. So If you're wondering, that's why, you know, Baja Malibu is known for that smell. And actually, the point right there, it's where Donald Trump is building his developments, and it's called Punta Banderas. And the locals down there call it Ni Lo Huelas, which means don't even smell it. Because it's a surf spot that, you know, I mean, you'd be insane to surf there, basically, and the locals know it. But there are some solutions, like Tijuana is putting on these sewage treatment plants online, which will mean that, you know, within the next 6 months, there will be no raw sewage that's being dumped north of Baja Malibu. And to their credit, you know, the developers at Trump and some of those other, you know, U.S.-based developers have been trying to push Tijuana, and they have been involved in kind of pushing these solutions with for expanded treatment, expanded capacity at the sewage treatment plants. And the eventual plan there at Punta Banderas is going to be to build a sewage outfall. So the treated sewage is not dumped right into the surf, but actually makes its way out into the ocean a little further, like what we have off of Point Loma. That would be an improvement.
When you talked about responsibility in terms of taking some responsibility for our end of things, does that really mean financial responsibility, maybe flipping the bill for, or helping flip the bill, or partially for additional treatment plants? Or would a possible solution be setting something up along the border that just catches 100% of the flow of the river? Would that even be effective?
Unfortunately, that would not be effective because the Tijuana River is so massive. And actually, you know, about 20 years ago, the mayor of IB, who's now a U.S. congressman, he tried to take matters into his own hands, and he tried to do exactly that by damming up the Tijuana River with a bulldozer on the beach, which was more a media stunt than anything else. But no, that's not an effective solution. So we really need to look at what's the real problem here. Cost-wise, it just makes a lot more sense to try to get Tijuana up to speed on, you know, sewage infrastructure. That would go a lot further. And as you know, if we do those projects in Mexico, they're a lot cheaper than doing it here in the U.S. I mean, there's thousands of people who are looking for jobs in Mexico. Maybe that's another way to take some pressure off of illegal immigration here in the U.S. It makes sense. I mean, we're dealing with the binational issue here. Why not try to address it at its source? It's in our best interest here in the U.S. also, you know. A dollar spent here on the U.S. side of the border at the sewage treatment plant to expand that would probably be worth, I don't know, you know, $100 in Tijuana putting in pipes to collect more sewage.
We'll just spend our money building a wall.
Yep. Well, that's what it seems.
That's what we'll do.
The direction we're at right now.
We'll just put the wall up. Just forget about that. You were with Sandra Dibble, who is a writer for the UT, when Monte de los Olivos was doing basically a press day.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I thought it was really impressive, you know. Tijuana, it seems really to be committed to putting in new sewage treatment infrastructure. And not just pumping, you know, the treated sewage to the ocean, but these three new plants, they're water reclamation plants. So they treat the sewage to a standard where then they can be reused. And the plan is that they can reuse them to make Tijuana green, as the governor of Baja California was saying in the press event. And that would be great because that's one of the first things we notice when we cross the border. You know, San Diego and Tijuana, they're right next to each other, but San Diego is so green. And yet Tijuana, you know, they have a lack of parks, trees, everything. And so if they can use this reclaimed water for irrigation, that would be great.
The first Mexican beach and park cleanup is coming up, Playas Limpias. And that's happening on November the 2nd, correct?
Exactly. And the two nearest sites for us, if you want to head down that way from San Diego to participate in this event, are going to be in Playas de Tijuana, right on the other side of the border, and also in Ensenada. This is really cool. You know, here in the U.S., we've had beach cleanups for years, and a lot of people are kind of sick of them by now, you know. but in Mexico, people aren't accustomed to doing that. And we think that that's one of the main reasons why people also, you know, they throw their trash in the street, and there's not the same culture of, you know,
not the same sense of stewardship or ownership.
Exactly. And for years we've had that here in California with the, you know, don't be a litter bug, with all that stuff, you know, teaching kids that it's not appropriate to throw your trash in the street. It'll end up in the ocean or, you know, in the environment. And so we want to try to be a part of starting that movement in Mexico. And so this first Mexican National Beach and Park cleanup is really, it's a way to increase stewardship of the environment in Mexico. And we've got a lot of support for it so far. There are going to be a lot of Mexican media down there. We have support from, you know, the state of Baja California, as well as the the governor down there. And it's going to be a beach cleanup that's going to be throughout the country of Mexico as well.
Yeah, this is nationwide. This isn't just Baja. This isn't just Playas or Ensenada. I mean, this is going to be Cancun. This is going to be Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, Acapulco. This is really remarkable.
Exactly. So we're just really trying to jumpstart this movement to start, you know, environmental stewardship in relation to the quality of our beaches and water quality, and try to instill some of that south of the border.
It's very, very much in Mexico's best interest to take this approach as well, because so much of their economy is based upon beaches and the resorts there. Whether you're in Oaxaca or Veracruz or wherever you may be, Mexico is a smaller country land-wise. Just so much of that tourism is based upon clean beaches, or hopefully clean beaches. Puerto Vallarta, beautiful place.
Exactly. And I mean, we see this right in the border area too. I mean, you were talking earlier about Rosarito. Hey, you know, how many thousands of people, you know, go there every year and go there for its beach? So that's the direction we're trying to go. And if we can be a part of the solution down there in Mexico, you know, that's kind of the end goal.
But one more time, let's go over the situation here with the County Recreational Water Quality Program, because I want to hit this again. If you want to get more information on this, obviously you can go to wildcoast.net, but you can also go to the county's website and get some more information there, and also contact your county officials, your elected officials. Go to sdcounty.ca.gov, and you can follow the links over there and get to the County of San Diego water quality closures and advisories for San Diego County beaches. That program's been canceled.
It's been completely suspended right now.
So suspended, okay, yes.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you care about knowing about beach water quality here in San Diego County, you really need to get on the phone, get on the internet, write to your elected officials, your county supervisor, and let them know that we just can't afford not to have this program.
Are there any county supervisors you've spoken with that you can name who aren't happy about this?
I don't think any of them are happy about this, but really I think they need to have encouragement from their constituents that they can prioritize this program. There have been other programs in the past that have been prioritized. One has been like the vector control program at the county. And, you know, now they have almost more money than they know what to deal with. And so, you know, they're hiring people to go around spraying every mosquito in the county. And so maybe there are some ways to reallocate, you know, some money within the county budget to pay for this water quality program. It's not a whole lot of money for the whole year. It's about $300,000 to pay for two full-time staff. Year round, they're out there taking water quality samples at your beach, posting the beach and working with the lifeguards to make sure that when San Diegans go to the beach, you know, they're having a healthy experience. It's a great program, and we're really sad that it got suspended, but we think that there's a good chance that we can restore the funding. And so that's what we're fighting for right now.
Hopefully we can get that gentleman, you know, who's been doing water quality control for 10 years and taking samples, we can get him off of sampling swimming pools and sampling the ocean again.
You know what? Yeah, he has no business over there at the swimming pools. You know, he knows beach water quality better than anyone in the county. And he's a huge resource for everyone here. And so, yeah, we need to get that program back up and running. I think the most important thing is for people to realize that, you know, the health of our environment here in San Diego really affects our health. You know, we spend so much time outdoors in the water, you know, at our parks, beaches. We really need to step up. It's time to step up and, you know, make this a priority to protect our environment. It's not just about protecting the environment to protect the environment, but it's really about protecting the economy here in San Diego, protecting our health as San Diegans. And we need to let our elected officials know that that should be their number one priority in terms of, you know, making San Diegans safe. I encourage everyone to go on the website, wildcoast.net, and figure out, you know, who your elected officials are. Contact them directly. You know, they really say that every phone call to an elected official is about 1,000 people yelling, because a lot of people don't ever bother to contact their elected officials to let them know what's important to them, what programs are important to them. You're able to, you know, pick up the phone, make a phone call, say, you know, it's important to me to know about beach water quality. I want you to prioritize the recreational water quality program at the county. That'll go a long way. And the same thing about, you know, letting them know we want them to prioritize cleaning up the Tijuana River, cleaning up the San Diego River. Those are also, you know, really good priorities to let them know.
Ben McHugh, the Coastal Conservation Program Manager with Wild Coast, en español, that's Costa Salvaje. out of Imperial Beach. You can reach them at 619-423-8665. Lots of information at wildcoast.net. That's wildcoast.net. Ben, good having you on the program, pal.
Thanks, Tommy.
Keep in touch, and we will talk with you next time.
Thanks for your show, Tommy.
That's going to wrap up this week's edition of Tree Huggers International on FM 94.9. Many thanks again to Ben McHugh from Wild Coast, Costa Salvaje, for coming by and talking about the Tijuana River and estuary, as well as options for cleaning up and cleansing the area, not to mention getting us up to speed on the troubling suspension of the county's recreational water quality testing program. For more information on all of these matters, or to learn more about the upcoming Mexican Beach and Park Cleanup, a nationwide beach cleanup for all of Mexico's beaches and coastlines happening November the 2nd, go to www.wildcoast.net. That's wildcoast.net. En Español, try www.costasalvaje.com. That's costasalvaje.com. The phone number is 619-423-8665. 619-423-8665. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff or management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media, and as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, go ahead and get a hold of me at tommy@fm949sd.com. And for more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, you can go to the Tree Huggers International page at the FM 94.9 website, www.fm949sd.com/treehuggers. Or just go to the FM 94.9 homepage and click on the Tree Huggers International logo. I'm Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 5:30 with another take on natural science and environmental affairs in our corner of Southern California and elsewhere. But in the meantime, get ready for another edition of Nina Blackwood's New Wave Nation next on FM 94.9. Have a great Sunday and a good week. Be well. Y vaya con Dios. Hasta luego.